In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. When I was in the fifth grade, I had a teacher who was teaching us about geology, and this is in the pre-personal computer days or smartphones. So they had a stack of index cards that asked a series of questions, and they had holes next to the answers, and you would stick a pin through the right answer, and then all the cards that didn't apply would fall out, and eventually you'd be left with one card. So you'd say, can you scratch it with a penny? Yes. Okay, boom. And then all the cards would fall out. So you eventually narrowed it down. There are a number of tests that tell us whether we're really a Christian. And St. John, in his first epistle, describes many of them for us there. And I want to talk about one of those tests. This is from 1 John chapter 3, beginning with verse 11. He says, "For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." He repeats this throughout his epistles, and if you read the Gospel of John, you'll find that he's basing that on what Christ said as well. He's echoing what he told us about Christ's teachings in his Gospel. It's one of the most essential teachings of the Gospel, and it's a basic measure of what it means to be a Christian. It's not the only measure, however. And in his epistles, he talks about other measures. For example, he talks about the fact that you can't say that you love God and not obey his commandments, that the truth isn't in you if you don't obey his commandments. If you're living a life of sin, you can't call yourself a Christian. If you don't confess the truth about Christ, you can't really be a Christian. These are all tests, but this is one of the most crucial ones. Then he says, "Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's were righteous." Well, it says that he was of that wicked one. He was of the devil. And the opposite of loving your brother, obviously, would be to hate your brother and to murder him. And Cain was the first murderer. But he asked, why did Cain kill his brother? And the answer to that question, if you read the story in Genesis chapter 4, is that he was irritated by the fact that God honored his brother's sacrifice because he was righteous and he didn't honor his sacrifice. He was envious. He was jealous. He resented the fact that his brother was more righteous than he was. And rather than taking the opportunity that God gave him to repent and try to be as righteous as his brother was, he instead just decided to take his brother out of the equation. So he took him out into a field and beat him over the head and killed him, and then tried to lie to God and act like he didn't know what was going on, and a curse was put upon him. But Cain is the prototype of those that hate their brother. And when we hate our brother, we are murdering them on some level. We may not go all the way and actually murder our brother, but that's how it all begins, when you allow that kind of stuff to get into your heart. And again, why is it that people who are not living a righteous life resent those that are righteous? It's because their lives shine a light on their own shortcomings, and they don't want to see that. Christ said in the Gospel of John, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." So they don't want to change. They don't want the light to show what needs to be changed. They want to just continue on doing what they've been doing. "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you." And the point that he's making is that if you're living a Christian life, don't be surprised that the world hates you, because they hate you for the same reason that Cain hated Abel. They hate the fact that you're standing for the truth. And Christ says in the Gospel again, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." So they hate us because they hate Christ, ultimately. If the world doesn't hate us, then we need to ask ourselves what we're doing wrong. And unfortunately, there's a lot of Christians, particularly in our own times, that think that the most important thing a Christian can do is to be liked by everybody, to be nice and not offend anybody, and have the world applaud them when they get up and say what little they're willing to say about the truth. Well, St. Paul says, "All who would live godly in this present age will suffer persecution." Christ said, if they hate me, they'll hate you. So if these people who hate Christ don't hate you, that's because they're not seeing Christ in you. And so that's what you need to work on. You need to work to be like Christ. Not that you want people to hate you, but you should know that people who hate Christ are going to hate you. And obviously, we don't want to just inspire their hate. We want to inspire them to be concerned about the truth, and we can be a witness to them, and hopefully God will soften their heart, and they will open up their heart and change. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and we know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. So we know that we pass from life to death if we love our brother. Now, again, you might have someone who says, well, gee, I love my brother, so I must be okay. But you may meet your own definition of loving your brother, and you may be able to say that. But if you really love your brother in a Christian sense, you can't love your brother truly and not also love God, because you love your brother because you love God. You can't really love your brother if you don't obey God's commandments. You can't really love your brother if you're not striving to live a life of holiness, because you're giving your brother a bum steer by your own example if you're living an ungodly life. And so you can't take that test in its isolation and apply it by your own standards. You have to look at the biblical standards. And then he says, he who hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. And he says that he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. So you've murdered your own soul when you choose to hate your brother. And so when you find hate in your heart for your brother, you need to ask God to root it out, because your brother probably doesn't, if you don't act on it, your brother probably doesn't even know that you hate him. But that hate is like a poison that is killing your soul. And you're the one that's going to be the most harmed by it. So you need to ask God to remove that poison from you. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Christ said, greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. We are to follow Christ's example. And laying down your life might mean that you ultimately lay down your life in the sense that you die for your brother. But it also, in most of our cases, means that we simply are giving our lives every day for those around us, especially those in our own home. If you're a parent, you're laying down your life for your children, or at least you should be, and you should be laying down your life for your spouse. Everything you do should be dedicated to trying to make sure that you're taking care of them, because you love God, and because you love God, you love your family as well as those that are around you. But the first neighbors that we all have are those of our own household. But whoso hath this world's goods and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassions from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And this also begins at home. We are stewards of all that God has given us, and we need to take care of our immediate family, we need to take care of our extended family, but then it goes to our family in the church. But it also goes to those that we encounter. And there's so much want and misery in the world that we can't give to meet the needs of everybody on the planet. We just don't have the resources to do that. And we do have to take care of our families. We can't just give every last penny and then let our family starve to death. But if we see ourselves as stewards of what God has given us, we're going to allocate what God has given us in a way that would be as God would do it. We're going to take care of those around us, and when we see people who are in need, compassion is going to move us to do what we can do. We can't do everything, but we can do something. Being a Christian is a walk of faith, and faith, if it is real, has to be joined to action. As St. James says in his epistle, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked or and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. if you don't have the works to go with your faith, you don't really have a faith. We are saved by faith, but we're saved by faith that works by love. And so you can't, as a Christian, when you see those that are in need, especially people that are close to you, like people in the parish, people who are at your door for whatever reason, you can't just say, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, I hope the best for you, and not do anything. And again, you can't solve everybody's problems, but you can do something. You want to never let someone walk away from you who's expressed a need and not at least giving them something that you can give them. To be a Christian is to live a life of integrity. And when we think of integrity, we think about people who have good morals and ethics on a personal level, but that's not all there is to having integrity as a Christian. Having integrity means that our whole life is lived in a way which is consistent with the gospel, and it's lived out completely. And there are no compartments of our life that we separate out from the gospel, and we leave that to be just for us, apart from the gospel. Integrity means that everything we have, all that we do, is all done in the light of the fact that we're a Christian. There's no division within ourselves. We're not double-minded. And we can only live that kind of a life if we give ourselves to God completely. To be complete and whole, we have to offer ourselves to God completely and wholly. It's only then that we can truly live in a way in which our words and our actions are in absolute harmony with the high calling of what it means to be a Christian. Amen.